This morning I'd like to read from Esther, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. We need to pray for Jacob Vincent's grandfather. He fell in the backyard and they've rushed him to the hospital. And we need to pray that God would reach down and touch right now. Lord Jesus, Lord, you know the situation. You know what's going on right now. I pray that you would reach down, that you would touch, and that you would heal. Lord, that your hand would be upon him, that you would watch over him, and that you would keep him, oh God. Lord, I pray, God, that your will and your way would be done right now, that angels would be with him. Lord, that you would give him strength, that you would heal his body, God, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Esther, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. It says, and they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Esther said, I can't be done. I can't do it. There's no possible way that it can be done. And Mordecai turned around and he said, this is what I need you to go back and tell her. This is what I need her to hear. She is not hearing me, and you need to tell her one more time. And this is the word that Mordecai said to Esther. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. A lot of times we feel like because we have the truth, we're okay. You know, well, I'm good. I'm saved. I've been baptized. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm good. You know, I'm all right. I'm good. But he tells her, don't think that it's going to not affect you if you don't do anything. It's not going to not impact your life because you decided you weren't going to do anything. It's going to impact your life. It's going to affect you. That it might not be today and it might not be tomorrow, but there's going to come a day that you'll look back and say, if I would have gotten involved then, it wouldn't be like it is now. If I would have done what God called me to do then, if I would have stood in the gap and been there where God placed me to be, then things would have been different. For if thou holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. See, that's what we've got to understand. God's going to have revival in Moss Bluff. He's going to have revival here. It's going to happen. He wants it. Whosoever will, he wants it. He wants to add to the church daily. But if it isn't going to be us, God has no problem of finding somebody else to do what he's called us to do. If we won't do what God's called us to do, he has no problem of just saying, all right, good luck. And I'll move on and I'll find somebody else to give the blessings that I had for you. So Mordecai tells her, you can rest assured that God is going to work. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time is this. See, we've got to understand that God placed us where we are right now at this moment for such a time as this. That it's not an accident, it wasn't a mistake that you were put in this leg of the race, that God put us here for such a time as this. It's Matthew 9 and 37. It says, then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. We have the biggest population this world has ever seen. It's hard for me to believe that God is calling less people to do his will. God's calling, the question is, will we answer? Lord Jesus, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would anoint me, that you would give me the words, oh God, that you would challenge us and that you would use us for the glory of your kingdom. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. Now, it doesn't matter how much rain there is if there's no seed. If there's no seed, it doesn't matter how much it rains. All that's going to happen is that there's going to be a lot of weeds that are going to spring up. If it's unkept, if it's untaken care of and it gets water, you can rest assured that weeds are going to grow. Just ask Brother Daniel and Brother Riley. Thursdays is weed pulling days, and it's their favorite day of the week. And if it's not going to be taken care of, if there's not seed, weeds are going to grow. There's no getting around it. That's just the way that it's going to be. You can't expect a harvest if you haven't put any seed in the ground. It doesn't matter how much rain comes. It doesn't matter how perfect the weather is. It doesn't matter if everything else is exactly the way that it needs to be. If there's no seed in the ground, there will be no harvest. Now, you can take one field and not put anything in it, another field and plant it, and then step back and see with the same environment and see which one grows and which one doesn't. It doesn't matter how much awesome church we have around here. It doesn't matter how great our worship is. If there's no seed in the ground, then it doesn't matter. It's just us, and that's all that it's ever going to be, and the only way that it's ever going to be. There's got to be seed that is planted in the ground. My great-grandfather was a farmer. My grandfather was a farmer. My uncles were farmers. My mom is one of the first ones in her family that hasn't been a farmer in generations and generations. Most of my family that farmed lived in Marigouin, Louisiana. Now, if you don't know where that is, when you come off the Schaffalai Bridge, take the first exit, take a left, go north about 10 miles, and you're in Marigouin. And it'll take you 3 seconds to get through there. But my Uncle Charlie would try to create the biggest harvest that he could create every year. And so he would plant soybeans in the spring, and he would allow the soybeans to begin to grow. But there came a time that he planted the field in such a way that he could go behind the soybean harvest, and he would plant winter wheat with the soybean. And so he had two harvests growing in the same field at the same time. And when he would go and reap the harvest for the soybean, the winter wheat was still low enough that it didn't impact it. And so he was able to make a soybean harvest, turn right back around and come back several months later and do a winter wheat harvest at the same time. You see, how big the harvest is going to be up to this church. It's going to be our decision if we're going to have no harvest, one harvest, two harvests. It's going to be up to us by the labor and what we're willing to put into it is going to determine what God is going to do in the return that we're going to get back. There can be a return of a soybean harvest. There can be a return of a winter wheat harvest. It doesn't have to just be nothing or some, but we can have as much as we desire, but it's going to take somebody putting seed in the ground and being a part of what God has called us to do. When you look at when they begin to replace the Judas's spot, when you look at Acts, the first chapter, the 12 through 26, did you know the only requirement that they were asking for out of the person that was going to replace Judas's spot? See, you've got to understand, if you won't do it, God will find somebody else who will. And so when Judas was gone, they made up their mind, we've got to find somebody else to fill his place. And so they begin to, what are going to be the requirements for this? Well, they need to have been there when Jesus was baptized, and they needed to have been there when Jesus was resurrected. I imagine at this point, they've been around, they've seen each other. That was the only two requirements that you read of it. They prayed about it. They prayed some more about it. They sat down and reasoned what would be good requirements for it. And the only requirements that we read is that they had to have been with us. They had to have been faithful. They didn't have to be geniuses. They didn't have to be smart. They didn't have to be great orators. They didn't have to be amazing with people in the foyer. They didn't have to have that bubbly personality. The only requirement that was required of them is to have been there, to have been faithful, to have showed up, to made up their mind that it doesn't matter what's going on in my life, I'm going to be faithful to the situation. When you read in Revelations and it says there's going to be 12 gates, and on those 12 gates, there's going to be the 12 tribes of Israel, and there's also going to be 12 pillars, and there's going to be 12 foundations, and on those 12 foundations are going to be the name of the 12 apostles. When you get to heaven and I begin to make that journey around there and we're celebrating it, I'm looking at the gates and I'm looking at the pillars and I'm looking at the foundations, there's going to be a place that you're going to walk up to, and there's going to be the name Matthias written on the side of that foundation. Why? Because he was the most talented, he had the most ability, he was the greatest orator, he had it all together. No, it's going to be because that he was faithful and he showed up. That was his greatest requirement, was I need somebody that will be faithful and show up. And God said, I'll write your name in my kingdom just for being there when you were supposed to be there. There's something powerful about just making yourself available. You don't have to be the greatest, just available. You don't have to have the most ability, just available. You don't have to have it all together, just available. There's places in every aspect, in every place of the church that you can be used for the kingdom of God. In 2006, Stevie Wonder was given a huge award, a humanitarian award for a lifetime achievement awards. And he walked, they took him up and set him down at the piano, and he began to play some of his songs. And finally he took the mic and he made the statement. He said, you don't understand. He said, God has given you a gift, and that gift is not for you. It's so that you can share it with others. And they brought two children, 9 and 6 years old, from a blind school there in Memphis. And they walked to the podium, and both of those little kids begin to sing because they had been empowered by another man that could not see, but he made himself available. He didn't get wrapped up in everything that was wrong in his life, but he gave of himself of what he could give. And now there are children that can say, hey, I can do that because they did that. Last night, J.J. Watt won an award because of he was the Walter Payton Award. That means that he was did a lot for his community this past year. He named one man by the name of Myron Roll. I've never heard of Myron Roll. I don't know anything about Myron Roll. I wanted to look him up before church and I forgot. But Myron Roll played college ball in Florida. He's never met Myron Roll, never had a conversation with Myron Roll. But when he was in college at Wisconsin, he heard that this guy had started a foundation to help people while he was in college. And J.J. Watt thought to himself, well, if he can do it, I can do it also. He was challenged because he saw another collegiate athlete that didn't have a lot of money, but created a foundation to try to use his influence for good. So when the floods happened this past year, J.J. Watt already had the infrastructure and everything set up to be able to funnel $30 million into the flood resources and the things that had happened because of a man by the name of Myron Roll that he'd never met before in his life, but challenged him because he saw him do something that he realized he could do himself. See, we've got to understand that our lives are bigger than just what we see right here, right now. That our lives impact the people that are around us. And when they see you going to church, there's something inside that says they must love their God. And when they see you standing in the foyer and being involved or teaching Sunday school class, there's something about it that says if they can do it, I can do it. If they can be involved, then I can be involved. If they can find their place in the kingdom, then... You know, in our attitude as Americans, a lot of times it's the least amount that I can do is going to be the greatest peace that I can find. If I can just shut everything down, if I can just get into a dark room and sit there all by myself possibly, or whatever it is, that brings you happiness. Some folks, they want to be in a room with hundreds of people. That's what brings them happiness. And whatever it is, but our goal is to do the least amount possible sometimes to get to that perfect place of euphoria and peace and joy. But when God gave Adam a job in the garden, one of the first things he told him to do is to dress the garden. He's in a perfect place of euphoria, a perfect place of peace, a perfect place where everything should be great in his life, that he should have everything that he needed to have the perfect life, and God gave him a job. He said, I need you to dress the garden. That word dress literally means to serve. To serve. You will never find true peace in God until you decide to serve. You will never be complete in God until you decide to serve, because it's a part of God's plan. He created us as human beings to be in service for the kingdom of God. He put that inside of us. There's a hole somewhere inside of each and every one of us that longs to be a part of something that we can be a part of. And our flesh says no. Our flesh says I'm too busy. Our flesh says I have too much going on. Our flesh says I've got too many things in my life. I've got too many responsibilities. I've got kids. I've got jobs. I've got all of this stuff. And so our flesh cries out, we don't have time for this, but the soul side of us, the side that's going to live forever, says, you don't understand. That's why that there's something inside of us that does want to be a part. There's something inside of us that's looking for something that's going on, that's looking for something, a place to find purpose and to find meaning, something that we can attach to that's bigger than ourselves. But the flesh says no, but we've got to understand, the flesh can't have control of my life. I've got to make up my mind and say, you know what? For such a time as this have I been called. For such a time as this, God has his hand on my life and wants to do something in me and through me. I used the illustration this morning. If I tell Jackson to clean his room and I tell Jace to pick up one toy, it doesn't matter the depth of the decisions that were made, what was asked to be done there. One was asked to do a bigger job, one was asked to do a smaller job, but it was still asked of them. It's not different, it's still asked. One job's bigger than the other job, but it is still asked of them to be done. See, we've got to understand, sometimes you can look at somebody that's in ministry, and if I decide to walk away from ministry, then you say, oh, he missed it big time. He messed up. Wow, I can't believe that's that's huge. That was what he was called to do. That's what his purpose was. But it doesn't matter if God called me to do what I'm doing right now and he called you to teach a Sunday school class. If either one of us say no, it's the exact same, because it's coming from the same person. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter how big the job is, it's dependent upon who asked us to do the job. It's not depending on how great the job is, it's on the one that's asking us to be involved in the kingdom of God. So when God says, I want you to become a prayer warrior, you might say, I don't have the strength, but you do have the strength to pray. You've got time that nobody else has. There's some people in this room, you don't have an hour a day to pray, but there are other people in this room that you do have that time that you could put into the presence of God. There are people in this room that you don't have the ability to be able to be involved in different aspects, but there are areas and avenues that you can find and be involved in, that you can help with. We've got to have more people out in the foyer meeting people when they walk in. We've got to have more people that are involved in different aspects of ministry. We need more Sunday school teachers. We need young families that will get a burden for Wednesday nights. Take one Wednesday night out of the month or every 2 months and invest into Kids Quake so that it can be one of the greatest ministries in our church. See, we've got to understand that there's some things that we've got to thrive in because our future depends on it. And when God asks and we say no, oh God, well, I don't know about all this. Don't think it's not going to impact us, because there is going to come a day that the decisions that we make today are going to impact our future. The decisions that we make today are going to impact the success that we're going to have. Somebody was talking about 100 soul revival, and I said, we would be doing a just disjustice to some if we had 100 soul revival next week, because we don't yet have the infrastructure to be able to save all of those people and to get them into Bible studies. We pray, God, send us revival first. We first have to be prepared for that revival. Tom Foster, I talk to him every month. He'll tell you they had a several hundred soul revival there in Dallas. It was amazing. It was like nothing that had ever been seen before. The problem was they didn't have the infrastructure, and they barely have any of those people that they prayed through and baptized in that huge revival that they have. He'll admit it. We weren't ready for it. We've got to be ready for what God wants to do. We've got to have the people already in place. If 15 visitors show up on one Sunday, we've got to have enough people that are on board to be able to handle 15 visitors that come in on that Sunday. If we've got 5 people praying for the Holy Ghost in the altar, we need to have 5 people that can help facilitate and lead them and pray with them so that they can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We've got to understand that we were brought to this place for such a time as this, that his hand is upon us. We are called and he's got big plans, but we've got to be a part of the plan that God has for our lives. Mordecai said, Esther, we've got to have you. And Esther said, I can't do it. Mordecai said, you don't understand. We need you. And she said, I can't do it. I don't know what happened to her as she sat in her room as that servant went back to tell Mordecai, but something began to happen. I don't know if she could hear the voices beginning to whisper outside that hall, outside the walls of that great palace. The voices that begin to cry out that if you don't do something, I will forever be lost. I don't know if there were, she could hear the children, the Jewish children playing in the streets. And there was something about it that she realized that if I don't do something, I know exactly what their future is going to be. If I don't do anything, I don't know what's going to happen if I do something. But I know exactly what's going to happen if I don't do anything. You can say, well, I don't know if anything will happen. I don't know if it doesn't matter. I can tell you exactly won't happen if you do know what will happen if you do absolutely nothing. I don't know if she could hear the whispers from outside the wall that said, I need you. I need you to stand in the gap. I need you to teach your Sunday school class. I need you to work in the foyer. I need you to be an usher. I need you to greet people. I need you to work with the young people. I need you to open up your home to a Bible study to the hyphen age group. I need you to allow yourself to be a Sunday school teacher to the hyphen age or to the young marrieds. I need you to allow yourself to become what it is that I want to do in your life. And she finally got to the place that she said she understood. I am born for such a time as this, that I have been placed in this place for this reason and this purpose, and I've got to do something for the kingdom of God. As we all stand this morning, this morning we're going to go next door. There's going to be food, there's going to be fun, there's going to be fellowship. If you have a booth, if you want to start heading that way, we're going to have a lot of fun. There's plenty of food, there's plenty of stuff to do, plenty of fellowship. But most important today is that you need to find a place in the kingdom of God that you can do something for His kingdom. There's going to be 20 different booths set up, 20 of them. That's how many different ministries that we have represented just today. That's not all the places that you can get involved, but 20 different places. If you can say today that there's just not a place for me or I can't, something's wrong. See, we've got to understand, I don't care if it's just for 20 minutes. 20 minutes on a Sunday, you could stand in that foyer and your life could make a difference. When somebody walks through that door, you are the very first avenue, the first person, you're there. And you can make an impact in somebody's life. That first smiling face, you say, well, I don't have the time. Everybody's got 20 minutes a week that you can be involved. Oh, well, I don't have that personality. Sister Wing and Sister Chris do an amazing job at it. And they're not the most bubbly, outgoing people that are just out talking and just chasing everybody all over the church, just excited to talk about everything. No, they do an amazing job because they're there. Who are we looking for? We're looking for faithful. They've got a smile on their face. They've got all the information that they need. They can help point. This is where you need to go. It's like a maze over there. We've got people spread out everywhere. We've got to have people, hey, let me show you how to get to the oxygen classroom. Let me show you where the hyphen are meeting this Sunday morning. Let me show you where the junior high and the high school are at. Let me lead you. It doesn't take rocket science to just say, hey, let me be a part of the process of leading you somewhere where you can get connected in the kingdom of God. I'm not a Bible study teacher. You don't have to be. There's so many different other avenues that you can just allow yourself to be used in the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, I pray that today and over the course of this next week that there would be a spirit of conviction that would begin to rest down upon our church. Lord, that we cannot be satisfied with where we are, but there's got to be a hunger, a purpose, and a passion for something more. That we've got to desire something more. That we want your spirit to move and flow through us and in us. And that we would make ourselves available. Available. I wonder how many people in this room today would lift their hand into the air and say, God, if you speak to me this morning, I'll do it. That's a hard prayer to, you know. God, if I'm walking around the tables this morning, God, and I walk up to a booth, and I never thought that this would be a place that I like to be involved, but something inside of me jumps and says, hey, I could do that, God. I'll give it a try. I'll at least give it a try, God. I'll see if, God, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. When we walk out of this room today, they're going to be giving you tickets as you walk across the way. You're going to turn those tickets in for drawings. We've got t-shirts. You might see some new different colored t-shirts, the purples and the blues. We're going to be giving away t-shirts today. We've got mugs. We've got all kinds of different stuff that you can win. So you'll need to take your ticket and put it in. Keep one half of it. Don't lose it, or you can give it to me, and I want to win some stuff today. Keep your ticket. Put it in the bucket. Keep your half of the ticket. Keep your children's tickets also. They'll probably lose theirs. But we're going to be having a lot of drawings and stuff. Mill around. Get you some food. There's ice chests full of cold drinks. There's sandwiches. There's chips and salsa. There's cookies. There's vegetables for all the healthy folk. And we're going to be having a great time. But everybody's also going to receive a card like this. On this card, there's 20 different spots. And each booth that you go to, they will give you a sticker that goes and covers their number on your card. Now, if you go and talk, I didn't say sign up at every booth. If you just go and allow that ministry leader to talk to you about their booth, or just give you a brochure about their booth, they will mark your card that you went by their booth. If you sign up to be involved in any ministry, they're going to sign the back of your card. And after you've had the back of your card signed and you've had every single one of these blocks filled from each ministry, write your name on it, and we'll have a separate place for you to put it in there, and you'll have the opportunity to win an iPad Pro this morning. But in order for that to happen, you have to go by every table and you have to at least talk to. There are going to be people in this room, you're going to walk up to a table and you might think, I'll never want to be involved in VBS. And then realize, you know what? I could be involved in VBS. It's only a week of my life. You might walk up to a table and think, you know, I never could be involved in different, like, what could I do for Connect Ministry? And be like, hey, you know what? I could open my home up and cook a gumbo and have the Connect Ministry over my house. I'm not talking about rocket science stuff. I'm talking about just being available for whatever it is that God wants to do in your life. Just be open to what it is that God desires to do as you walk around and have fun and fellowship. And if you walk up to a table and there's something inside of you that says, I could do that, that's not your flesh and it's not the enemy. That's God saying, hey, I'd like to use you in this department. I'd like to use you in this avenue. I'd like to do something with you and through you. Lord, I ask you right now, God, that your spirit would move and flow in this place. God, that you would challenge us today, oh God, that you would use us, God, that your spirit would move and flow. God, I pray, God, that your Holy Ghost would speak to each and every one of us today, God. Lord, that you would speak to me today, God. Lord, if there's areas, God, that I could do better or things that I could be more involved in, God, speak to me today, God. Lord, that I could be used for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.